Lord Jesus, then not just our feet, but our heads and our whole bodies and our whole souls and all that we are. Wash us clean by the water of your word, by your blood, and incline our hearts to wash one another's feet as you have shown us and instructed. Pray in your name. Amen. You know, I was so swept up with what was happening with the African. What was the language we were singing in?
Bengali?
Just lovely. I really can't dance, much to my bride's frustration. And trying to dance and sing in the same time is a complete befuddlement to me. But the joy was just palpable. And I listened to some African music. I'm really fond of a band called King Sunny Ade and his African beats. And I just loved the way the guitar was sounding so authentically African to my ears. Thank you all for this gift of joy and love. And thank you for the gift of the word. But in my enthusiasm and getting caught up, I omitted a liturgical component that we typically keep, which is the Gloria Patri. And I don't think the Lord minds. You know, we drop liturgical balls all the time, and I really don't think he cares nearly as much as we do. But I wanted to say it anyway, so join me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be our guest. Hospitality. Radical welcome. You know, I used to be fond of watching a show on television. I don't even know if it's on anymore. That I found the host sort of particularly bothersome, maybe even sometimes irksome. But the show I loved, the Inside the Actor's Studio. Does anybody else like that thing? Inside the Actor's Studio. Was his name James Lipton? James Lipton. And he was a terrible interviewer. I don't like interviewers, even if I'm the one being interviewed. I don't like interviewers who just toss you softballs, you know. It's like, how obsequious, you know, can you get? And just kind of bowing and scraping, you know, adoring the other person. But something that I really particularly loved about the show is when he would get to the end of it, there was this unusual little constellation of questions he would end every program with. And I don't remember exactly what all the three or four questions were, but one of them was, what kind of work would you particularly not like to have been doing in your life? And I think that's an interesting, you know, not what would you like to have done, but what would you really like not to have done? Well, this particular time I was watching, Barbara Streisand was the interviewee. Ms. Streisand, what kind of work would you most not like to have done? If you were not an actor and a singer, what would you definitely not like to have done? And she said, I think anything that had to do with feet. I wouldn't want to do anything that had to do with feet. Now, they didn't elaborate on that, but what I took that to mean was she would not want to have been a manicurist and have to give pedicures. She would not want to have been a podiatrist. She just found other people's feet to not be very engaging, not be very attractive. Well, feet washing in ancient culture is something that is, I don't know if it's ubiquitous, but it's common to many, many cultures. And not just ancient Israel, but to many cultures. And I don't know how many references there are in the Bible to the washing of feet, but I noticed very quickly, just thumbing through the pages, I found at least 9 in the Hebrew scriptures, and I found 3 in the New Testament. One in Luke, one in John we heard this morning, one in 1 Timothy. And, you know, I don't know if Jesus intended when he said, do for each other what you've seen me do. I don't know if he meant for that to be a ceremonial thing that got perpetuated, or if it was meant metaphorically, I suspect probably both, because we get something from doing it ceremonially. We also get something from creatively looking for ways to wash one another's feet metaphorically, ways that comfort, soothe, serve another person. In the Hebrew Scriptures, there are at least three different settings for the washing of feet. One is the religious ritual setting. Another is the domestic settings for hygiene and comfort, just in daily life at home. But the one I think that really resonates with what we're talking about this week is domestic settings for hospitality. Domestic settings for hospitality. In the early church, I know a lot of you were dealing, I know in 701 and in 502 yesterday, everyone was in the patristics and learning what a lot of these ancient thinkers and pastors and writers had to say. Well, that's where I was yesterday morning too, over in the hotel room, and I noticed that Tertullian and Athanasius practiced the washing of feet ceremonially. I noticed that Chrysostom and Ambrose urged the washing of feet. This is not something that's exotic and questionable about being in church life and church culture. This is something that can be vital and lovely. Well, what was Jesus up to when he did this? What was going on? I think there were several things. But they walk in the room. There aren't any servants that have, you know, who's got the money to pay servants to be there to wash feet, which was the normal, that's the normal hospitality in this setting. What was Jesus up to? I think everybody's got to notice the basin and the towel. Everybody's got to have noticed that. Nobody makes a move. Have you ever been that person? You walk in a room, you notice there's something that could be done, you don't make a move. And then someone in the room actually makes that move towards servanthood. My bride, Janet, is really good at that. She walks into a room, she doesn't make any noise. She just notices what needs to be done to make everything better for everybody else or somebody else, and quietly does it. Jesus' act is modeling humility, it's modeling servanthood, it's modeling hospitality. I think back to an Easter weekend, I'm going to say 6, 7 or so years ago. Now, I love Holy Week. I didn't grow up with it, and when I finally got exposed to Easter not just being a one-off Sunday experience, but this amazing crescendo of the Triduum and then into a 50-day celebration culminating in Pentecost. Oh my goodness, it's even better than, if anything could possibly be better than Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, it's the Easter season. The whole thing. Well, this particular weekend, Janet and I, for whatever reason, I can't remember if we had out-of-town house guests, were running behind on to-do lists, but we didn't get to the Maundy Thursday service where they were going to wash feet and we were going to hear about the new commandment. Missed it. We didn't get to the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday with all those incredible intercessions and prayers. Missed it. Got to Saturday, we were so out of steam. We really just couldn't imagine going to a vigil. And I wanted to. I so wanted to. Janet knew I wanted to. We were just tuckered. I mean, we were just tired. And so I said, you know, baby, let's stay in. And we'll be there for the hallelujahs in the morning. But let's spend the afternoon, the evening, catching up on what we've missed. So we turned to the Maundy Thursday service in the prayer book. And we went through some of the basics in that. And I went and got a basin and some water, made sure that it was not just cold so it would startle her feet, got it a little bit warm. I wept washing her feet. She wept washing mine. ceremonially participating in what Jesus had done and said we should do. Then we went to the BeliefNet website, beliefnet.com. I don't know if this is still up there or not, but there's a wonderful Way of the Cross online devotion that walks you through the stations of the cross. And we prayed the stations of the cross together, weeping, walking the path that Jesus walked. And then we turned to the vigil, and we took turns reading the scripture lessons of the great vigil of Easter, going through the entire sweep of salvation history. And boy, when we got to worship the next morning, the hallelujahs were just resounding out of our throats because of entering in to what the Lord had called us to do, the radical welcome that he calls us to. I loved washing her feet ceremonially, but what I love even better is when my crusty, selfish old heart finds ways to serve her that wash the feet of her soul and her practical day-to-day life, that makes her life easier, that refreshes her. And that is the radical welcome that the Lord is calling us to. Please stand for the prayers.